flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
30, not bad, huh?
That's not bad.
No.
If I was going out with Io, that'd be perfect. He'd get there by 9. He'd be ready to eat. Be all good.
Shout out Io, man. Big ups to my dog.
No doubt. TC said he could hear it in our voice. Something's brewing. I don't know.
Oh, there's something brewing.
I mean, they talking. That's all we know is they talking, and the conversations are getting louder to where it appears that they're out there. And will John Collins be a Sacramento King by the end of the day? Will he be a Sacramento King by the end of the weekend? Will John Collins be a Sacramento King at all? It appears from things that we have been told, the Sacramento Kings still have a very strong interest in Cam Johnson. It does not look like Sean Marks is budging on what he wants for Cam Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of something that we had brought up months ago, is they don't need to trade him. What are you accomplishing by trading Cam Johnson? That's why I think they're so steadfast in the draft assets.
Mm-hmm.
We're not giving him away just because y'all want him. We're not giving him away just because we're a bad basketball team. We're not doing any of that. We'll keep him the rest of the year. And I honestly don't think Sean Marks is bluffing. I think he'd be more than willing to keep Cam Johnson the rest of the year.
Yeah,
they just play him every other night. Sit him for the. They're gonna sit Cam for the week if you're trying to lose more games or whatever it is you're trying to do. Hell, Cam might hurt something and be out for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I hope not. I enjoy watching the brother play, but like he's had a bad stretch here over the last couple of months.
Man.
Let's get Titus in here. 916.
Hey, somebody was asking for the Real Brothers of Sacramento earlier today, man. I said we ain't heard from them guys in a while.
Well, they right here. What's up, Titus?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Long time no speak.
Yeah, man. Where you been at, man? Come on, man.
Hey, I'm going to resurface now because Mike, no coach in Brown gone, and I tried to tell y'all. And you knew I was going to tap in with that, right?
So, hey, to his credit, he did say that.
Hey, and I would have took Doug Christie. If I knew Doug Christie was an option like that, even though I knew he was on the coaching staff, I would have been seeing Doug Christie and just get him out of there. You feel me?
I like
Cam Johnson or Collins, but I'd rather have Cam Johnson because I've been saying Cam Johnson, but I wanted Portis. That, you know, I've been at this
okay.
From the gate.
Well, but yeah.
I would like Cam Johnson. Who we got to give up for him?
Well, and I see Joe asking, are you guys hearing what the Kings have? We've been trying to figure that out since about 7 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
We've been trying to figure that out since about 7 o'clock this morning, and we can't. So,
and when we throw some name, we throw a Herter. That's just because that's the universe.
It is almost obvious Herter would be involved in this, and then we just try to make the math work after that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like the money only works with those two guys outside of people in the starting lineup.
Right.
And I don't think you're trading any starters for John Collins, and that's why we...
And I saw this discussion earlier. John Collins is coming off the bench for Sacramento.
Yeah, somebody was like, who does he come...
He's not starting for anyone.
Bench.
Yeah, he's coming off the bench. Like, mm-hmm. This is what we've talked about. You need a high-quality role player to go along with Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way that Trey Lyles played last night. I'm going to assume that Trey Lyles is a part of any possible deal that goes along with Utah. Give me John Collins and Keon Ellis as the anchors of that second group 10 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Over Keon Ellis and Trey Lyles. Again, tremendous amount of respect for Trey Lyles and the way that he played last night and the way that he's played, you know, through his tenure with the Sacramento Kings. John Collins, I think, is a little bit more of a consistent player. He'll have an opportunity to really do something. And if you're working with Malik as like your second point guard, or you're working with Malik and Keon in your backcourt, and you're maybe flip-flopping between Keon and De'Aaron as your main point guard when you're John Collins, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that every time. When you talk about that stretch forward with DeMontis Sabonis, it feels like there's a lot of possibilities that Doug Christie and Jay Triano and Luke Louts and those guys could figure out to work John Collins into this offense.
I'm trying to find a way, and I can't get there realistically. I'm trying to find a way to get Collins here and mm-hmm. keep Trey Lyles.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when you talk about, like, you know, he's valuable because of the expiring nature of it. Well, if that's the case, then we got a few guys that are expiring. Just, you don't have to take Trey Lyles. Like, if it's just about money off the books,
mm-hmm.
take Alex Lynn, take McLaughlin, take McDermott or whatever. Mm-hmm. They'll all be off your books too. Mm-hmm. And we could keep Trey Lyles. Like, if you don't plan on having him be a part of the future.
Well, they probably – so you'd have to probably package a couple of those guys, right, to make the dollars work?
Yeah, it's – so right now, I think McDermott might be the one that puts it over the top. When I did Herter –
well, everyone loves Dougie now.
I know, right? Shout out to my boy.
Yeah, man. Everybody loves Dougie.
When it was Herter, McLaughlin, Alex Lynn, that wasn't enough money. Just put McDermott in there. And
Herter,
that
McLaughlin, work. Alex Lynn wasn't enough.
And that I put McDermott in there with those
so
other
all
three.
Four
works. And Jordan, Alex.
Well, you got to send someone back, though, right? That's
who?
You got to package all four of those guys?
To get the money to work, yes.
I mean, I guess with McLaughlin, it's not like McLaughlin's playing. Alex Lynn is sporadic.
Doug ain't playing.
That's tough. I mean, Doug, yeah.
And the reason why I put those guys in there is because they're essentially kind of all out of the lineup, and you're keeping Trey.
Does McDermott play? Okay, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. Trey's here.
And that,
does Doug McDermott play anymore with Herter gone in this hypothetical?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, like,
probably not a lot, but like, does he play every day?
Well, we talked about at the top of the show. I think he's earned himself a look. So with Herter here, I think McDermott has earned himself at least a look,
like,
on this road trip.
In exchange for, because are you playing both of them? Or are you just like, all right, Kevin's out, I'm playing Doug McDermott tonight?
I don't know. That's a good question. My first thought is, no, they're both in your rotation.
And doesn't that put Doug McDermott in a tough spot? Because aren't you really just looking to see if he's hot?
Yeah, that's what you're doing with Kevin, too, though.
Well, that's – damn. Well,
that's all you're
sometimes
doing
the truth just slaps you in the face, man, and that's pretty much what that was. That is exactly what you're doing with Kevin Herter. We'll come back. We got –
the lights are off. Great.
This building,
it's
man.
Only 2 o'clock.
It's 2 o'clock on a regular ass Friday, and the lights in the whole building just shut off.
And that's because of activity, not because of
no. They're
a
on a timer.
Nothing,
no, they're
man,
on a timer. Like, if no one moves, well, no one can move if they're not here. Hell, even Complex went home. We'll come back. I'm just calling Eddie Gonzalez an insider from now on. Our
pretty
NBA
much.
Insider, D'Lo and Casey's in NBA insider. Eddie Gonzalez joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
D'Lo and KC on this Friday afternoon, Sacramento, California. Kings coming off a tough loss in Denver last night. You guys know I'd be one to, and I like Mike Malone. I talk about how I want to beat Mike Malone so bad when they play. I like Mike Malone. I really do. I just don't like the way he moves sometimes. And when it comes to the Kings, I don't like the way he moves. Everything else, he's perfectly fine. I don't have a problem with Mike Malone, but I don't like the way he moves. Didn't matter last night, though, because Kings took that L in Denver. And we got Eddie Gonzalez coming up in any moment right now. But
Back. I saw the 13th round. Oh, I thought you was doing the 13th round. That's why I was just standing off to the side.
Michael Malone is not going to face
anyone. I was like, why is he talking about the Kings? Oh, that's a weird approach for your show.
Michael Malone versus Inouye coming up.
Man.
My mistake.
So I'm just standing there. Let my man finish.
Oh, man. My mistake. But like I said, Eddie Gonzalez coming up. The Kings losing last night, it didn't faze me one way or another. That was a tough game that they already – I hate the schedule loss thing. I really do.
Yeah,
that kind of felt like one. Like you had to play a perfect game to come out of Denver with the win there, and they played far from it and weren't able to get that win. Real quick, my bad. Eddie needs the link.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Do you have his email?
I think so. I forgot Jesse's not here sending that out. I got you. 1 second. I got it, Joe. It's all good.
I didn't know if you had the email. That's the only reason why I told James. So
nah, yeah, you're good, Joe. We appreciate you. Jesse's out. I don't know what Jesse's doing. He's probably mad. Being completely honest, he's probably a little upset. We're on the way, Eddie. We're on the way.
Eddie is, and like you said, our NBA insider. But you mentioned it a little while ago. He's got a new head coach. He's got a new head coach for his favorite NFL team. So I gotta ask.
Yeah, we haven't. Yeah, that'd be a good conversation to have that we haven't gotten into yet. All right, I sent the link to our boy.
Before he comes in, though, like I said, that was just a tough spot for the Kings last night.
Yeah,
tough spot. So I'm not going overboard with win or loss right there.
Well, let's look at this. Like they had won, what was it, 7 straight, and we're like, hey, let's see. Let's see how they respond after getting, you know, beat up by Milwaukee, and they swept the homestand.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Built-in loss. All right. You went out there. You got roughed up. Put up a nice little fight in the fourth quarter. Impressive. Kind of stuck with the Doug Christie, playbook. We're gonna fight till the end. Made the game close. Had a legit shot to, you know, turn that into something.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. Jokic had another one of those nights.
Jokic was crazy. What did he finish with last night? What was the numbers?
Like 35-22.
And like 16 or something, right?
35-22 and 17. 35-22.
Bro, how? How?
35-22 and 17.
How do you do that? Like, no shade to anybody, but like when Sabonis has 23 – 15 and 8. We're like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? How do you get 17 assists?
It's like some weird like superpower. It's like a super villain in like a movie or a video game or something.
That is ridiculous.
35, 22, and 17. The Nuggets had 30 assists.
Yes.
Jokic had 17 of them.
Oh my gosh.
And couldn't have played the game like he hated life more. That like is... he was just thinking about his horses winning a big race or something.
We're going to sound like a broken record because we say this all the time. I'm never excited to watch Jokic, no. And then I watch him, and I'm like, this guy is crazy.
Just ridiculous.
He is crazy to play.
Absolutely.
One of the best we've ever seen, man.
It's absurd. One of the best we've ever seen. One of the most unique we've ever seen. Like, we have never seen anything like Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. Our NBA insider.
Hey.
Eddie Gonzalez with us. What up, baby?
What's going on, fellas? It's about 7 degrees out here right now. So
Man, you bundled up in the house.
My mom out there, man. My mom went to New York for her birthday, man. So she out there.
Oh, that's lovely. How she like it?
She loves New York City, so she goes back often. So she loves New York.
You gonna go see the home team for any of these two that they got in New York over the next couple of days?
Hey, man, if y'all give me the plug, like, I probably could make it out there. I know y'all know everybody.
You know what your name is.
And bro, come on, don't do that, because this guy is Eddie Gonzalez, but he's also Mr. Barclays, bro. Come on. Stop. Anything that goes down in the Barclays, like, it's foot to court side there. Come on, man.
Yeah, I'll tell a story to kind of give you that. Like, we got friends, really, really big Devin Booker fan. Hmm. So obviously the Suns was just here. And I didn't make him no promises, but I'm letting him know, like, yo, if you come, like, we'll probably meet Book. Like, we'll see what we can do. Mm-hmm. And so he come, he bring two jerseys. He made his girl wear one, like, the whole nine. I'm like, yo, you ain't got to do all that. Like, we're cool. So when we get to the arena, I walk down, like, where my section is, and it's like, oh, it's you. Come here. And they just walk.
I'm like, that's what they do with Kenny.
With me, though. Yeah. And they're like, oh, where's he at? And they bring him down. And he was just like, so we watched the warm-ups in the court. And like, Book got his headphones on, he leaves. And he's kind of like bummed out. And then the usher tells me, like, you coming back out there, right? I'm like, yeah. And then my friend, he's looking at me like, huh? And so, yeah, we was able to get him Devin Booker's autograph. It was really exciting. Nice. And shout out to the Barclays staff, man. Janae and all the people up there. That's family for sure.
That's what they do with Kenny. When Kenny walks down to the floor.
I've seen a lot of the footage.
Kenny walks down to the floor, and they'd be like, is this your man's? And it'd be me. He'd be like, nah.
He'd be like, nah.
All right, sir, go up to your section. And then I have to, you know, kind of do the walk of shame back up the stairs and go.
Come on, man. Hey, man, shout out to my man Doug, though. Shout out to my man Reggie. Shout out to my man Kenny over there. Mm-hmm. Those are my people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, shout out Janae and Henry at the Barclays. It's all love. You know, that's the funny thing about, like, when these players get traded and stuff. I think Kevin mentioned it when he got traded too. Is like, y'all don't realize the families you kind of make, you know, in these buildings and in this with the staff and with the trainers. And like, you spending so much time with these people, you come across them so much. Like, those are the relationships you build. So it's like, you know, it's tough to let that go. People don't see that side of it.
Yeah. The human side of it all.
Yeah.
What would you think if John Collins wound up a Sacramento King?
John's one of those guys because his contract, he's always in trade talks and people are kind of allured by what he could be. I think it's kind of what you need on that team, right? Another athletic wing. You know, he's not the greatest defender of all time, but he can run in the open court. He can hit a three here and there. He's, he can finish for you. I think the more playable bodies the Kings have, the better, especially in the front court. You know, as they're trying to figure out that shuffle, and you got Domas, and then sometimes you have Alex Lynn, sometimes you don't play him, and you got Trey obviously coming off the bench, and they're just trying to sort out what that forward position is. You get him for the right price. You know, my whole thing is, and what I've heard, I think we've talked about a little bit on here, is it almost seems to be a package deal with Colin Sexton, and I'm a big Colin Sexton fan, so you bring him over there to come help off the bench, and all right, now you're putting together a bigger deal and doing that. So, like, what does that trade look like? It's herders in every trade, right? So
every single one of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been trying to figure out. We don't know. We know that the two sides are talking. We know that the two have been talking for several days, and some would say they're really, really close to having something done. What we can't get anyone to tell us is what the parameters are from the Sacramento Kings side and who else this might involve, but it sounds like things are moving forward. We just don't know to what degree.
I've liked John Collins for some time. You know, funny enough, before Kevin went to the Suns, he was the big target both for the Nets and the Suns. And then they ended up obviously doing something different. But I've liked him since his Atlanta times. I think don't fall too in love with his ability to maybe make a three or two. That's not his game. But he can slash and he can finish in the paint for you. And I think when motivated, most of those athletic guys in the league can be better defenders than they've shown on a team like the Jazz, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing with a John Collins, too. Like, you bring him in to Sacramento, I mean, he turns into maybe an overqualified role player at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is a guy that can average 18, 19 points per game in the league, but you're not asking him to do that. You're asking him to get in where you fit in, defend, rebound, be a lob threat. And he's, you know, if his mentals is right, which I have no reason to think it wouldn't, it's just a different role that maybe some guys aren't ready for. But if his mentals are right, he's more than qualified to be a super sub like that.
Yeah, I think in the NBA, more so than any league, you kind of have the peg system of sorts where, like, yo, megastars, they can be peg one. Obviously, they can do that on any team. But you put them on peg two, then it's like, oh, you got something crazy now. You got something like the Warriors in 2018. But the same goes the other way around. Like, some guys can play up their level for a day, for a week, for a month. Mm-hmm. But you get them to play down and to buy into playing down, and it's like, look, you might only get 10 shots tonight, but they're going to be good. They're going to be great, and you'll be able to do this and that. And that 3 minutes in the second quarter, like, that's you, you know? But that 3 minutes you play in the fourth, you're going to be with a different mob, and it's going to be a little bit different. You get guys that buy into that, it kind of changes what they do. I think Malik Monk's actually a great example. It's like, you know, look, every night's not going to look like this, but the right night when you cooking, or that second quarter, or with this and that, you're the man. And I think, you know, John Collins is a good example of that. And every year we see that. We see that every year in the playoffs. I mean, you look at the team won the championship last year. You know, KP had to buy into that. He had to buy into that player that he is now. And some of the best open looks in his life, right? Jalen Brown had to buy into that. He's complaining a little bit about it now, but he's had to buy into that role of, like, look, you could be a superstar on your own team, but on this team, we need you to guard Luka Doncic all night. And the same thing for the Mavericks. When you watch PJ Washington do that, it's like, look, it's not going to be as big, fruitful a role as it used to be, but the looks are going to be great. You're going to play more important basketball. We need you to guard, all that stuff. That's what you do. And honestly, when if you're not making the big superstar trade, that's what you need to do at the deadline, is put together that type of deal on the fringes that makes your team better as a whole.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's only one superstar deal out there, and we're just waiting for it to get done.
Look, man, I don't envy those guys who do that for a living, who do the news breaking for a living, because it's tough, because you got to understand, too, these things are fluid situations. Mm-hmm. So if I say whatever I've said, it doesn't come true right in that moment, or somebody changes their mind, or now Miami doesn't want this guy. Now I'm a liar, but when I said it, that was the news. So, you know, I had said, yo, it looked like it's going to happen by the end of this weekend. Because that's what it was being said. That's what was being told. And now he's got another deadline, so to speak, with his suspension. And the word's the same again. They don't want him back on Monday, so they want to get this done by then. I still feel pretty strongly like he's going to end up on the Suns, some version of the Bucks and the Bulls, and maybe some additional teams for some picks and some contracts and stuff like that. Shout out to y'all, because y'all gave me my props for that, because the Bucks was a quiet thing for a minute, and now it's out there. And then all that. I still think it's those four teams, maybe a fifth, just to make the numbers right. I'm not a cap expert, but literally made some calls right before I got on here, and it sounded like it's moving, and some of the framework is understood. And not necessarily agreed to, but it's like, okay, like I mentioned the very first time, it's a relatively simple trade, and Jimmy Butler's going somewhere. Bradley Beal's going somewhere, and all the contracts that need to match that are also going somewhere. It's like, all right, where are we sending them all? And it seems like it's closer. I've said that before, but it seems like it's closer, and Miami has come down to earth, so to speak, with their willingness. Domino falls in the league to start moving a little bit more, because, as you mentioned, the Jazz were a team that was thrown in that mix at one point, and these other teams are cap space, like the Pistons, and the Bulls are going to be a player in this as well. And okay, if the Bulls get rid of Lonzo and Vooch in this trade, then Zach has to go now, right? What's the point? And that opens up that sweet space, and I think all the dominoes will begin from there.
So I want everybody to hear what Eddie just said right there, that Utah has been involved in these conversations. They're tied right now to Sacramento. A GM is telling Keith Smith, we've got a deal in place, but we're waiting for this Jimmy Butler thing to go through. You start putting like little there's breadcrumbs all over the place that Sacramento in Utah got something pretty locked up here. We're just waiting for Eddie's homeboy to get traded. So we can start cooking here in Sacramento.
The small
picks deal that they did with Utah was kind of like the first indication.
100%.
It's not new.
Yeah,
100%. But it was like that had been there for some time. It was just waiting for both teams to go, okay, let's do it, fine. And, you know, again, read the tea leaves that they were waiting to feel stronger about what was going to happen after. I think that applies to both teams, Phoenix and Utah. Mm-hmm. Utah was like, we'll take this pick. It's one of the best assets in the league right now. Some people have it ranked as the best asset. There's no protections. Who knows what that pick is and who knows what you could trade it for. But it's also the beginning of Utah opening up shop and saying, mm-hmm. okay, like, here we go.
Yeah.
I was just chuckling because, you know, a GM says that there's a deal in place, but the Jimmy Butler thing is holding things up. Utah's involved. Unrelated, it sounds like the Kings and the Jazz are getting yeah, all right, a GM. We can play guess who on that one.
Yeah.
But help us out with this one, Eddie, just as like a just an NBA observer. We were trying to figure out yesterday what is obviously they've got the guy who's disgruntled and they just want to move on with their life. But what does Miami have in all of this? Because if they don't want Bradley Beal, like what, Chris Middleton? Are they like really focused on draft picks, cap relief? Like I couldn't really find, unless Zach LaVine goes to Miami, like what is Miami getting out of all of this?
Well, I think that was always the question. That's what everybody was trying to figure out in negotiations. Like, what do you realistically get for 35-year-old Jimmy Butler who also needs a new contract and who also has a $50 million price tag and who is on a decline because he's 35 years old and has a reputation now. Like, what does that get you in the open market? The last time he was traded, it wasn't like it was a haul of picks either, you know? And I think when you look at the Cat trade over the summer, that wasn't a haul of picks either. You can say the Mikal Bridges trade was, but that's a very specific trade. And these are offseason trades too. So mm-hmm. you have to add that to it as well. Like this has to happen and guys still have to play games and we have to fill out a roster within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of mystery about what that gets you. You see the reports about like, yo, quality starter level player. They wanted specific contracts that end kind of aligned with when Jimmy's contract would end, which was next summer. You know, they wanted picks. They wanted all this stuff. I think you end up just checking some of the boxes, right? You probably get some starter level players, but you don't get a star. You don't get Lauri Markkanen for Donovan Mitchell. You're not getting that. You know, you're not getting two guys under 30 and make All-Star game the next year.
Right.
But yeah, you look at Chris Middleton, who is getting healthier, who's playing a little better. The Bucks are playing better. You have a starter level player who's made waves in the playoffs. You get Bobby Portis. I think that's along that lines. I mean, you've seen iterations with Lonzo, who is getting better, getting healthier, has started some games over the last week. He's a guy who can help you. But I think they have always maintained they want to be competitive at the other end of this trade. Mm-hmm. They feel like they can go up against anybody in the playoffs, feel like they've shown it in the past. They're the last team to beat the Celtics, this, that, and the third. I don't know how much I buy into that. I just watched them lose to the Jazz recently. I just watched them play some pretty bad games over the last week. But that's Miami's MO. It has been for some time. So I expect them to get some starter level players. I don't expect them to get like a young prospect. Maybe they get a first with a bunch of pretends. But yeah, they're going to get $50 million worth of starter level players and they're going to move on from that. And I think it's building towards 2026. There's some great free agents that are going to hit the market that year. Some Celtics guys come off the books. Young fella named Kevin Durant comes off the books. Like there's a lot of guys come off the books in 2026 where it's like, we can make our pitches. But I do think they are trying to align their money in that sense and then aim for a big summer next summer.
We chuckled at one of the reports. I don't remember if it was earlier this week or last week that said the Bucks hadn't talked to Bradley Beal yet about waiving his no trade clause. And our thing was they don't have to. The Bucks have to talk to Miami to make sure that this whole thing can get orchestrated. And once Miami goes, yeah, no, we're good, then they got to talk to Bradley Beal and make sure that Brad will come over and be a part of the Milwaukee Bucks. But I love the idea of, oh, yeah, no, there's been no conversation. Like, wording, like, phrasing matters in all of this, right? Yeah, of course you haven't. There's no reason for you to talk yet. And I want to see Bradley Beal go, yeah, I don't want to play with Giannis. I don't want to play with Giannis and Dame. Them suck. I don't want to play with them. I'm going to keep coming off the bench here behind Mason Plumlee and the rest of this group here in Phoenix. Get out of here.
I know there's pride at hand, and I know there's this is business at the end of the day, and he does have this power. I just can't foresee the world where all of this happens, and the team has clearly demonstrated to Bradley Beal in a professional way that we're ready to move on from this.
Mm-hmm.
For him to go, actually, no. I just can't see that. And so
I love this desert weather. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm not speaking for him or his agent. I just can't see that making any sense. That's not logical to me at the end of that.
Agreed.
No, it's definitely not.
Hey, Eddie, man, we can't let you get out of here. We always love talking NBA, but we can't let you get out of here without seeing how you feel about your new coach, man. Pete Carroll, man. How you feeling about that?
Well, he's old enough to be my great-grandfather, which is a little scary, truth be told.
But he can throw a football like your grandfather. He don't throw.
He's 73 years old, which means you now have to hire a successor as well. So that's a little crazy. But look, he has a great history of building a winning franchise, of building culture, of maintaining that, of handling insane personalities. He's a great football coach. He's been a great football coach on every level. He's probably the most prestigious coach we've had in our organization in some time. I'm not on the team, but in the Raiders for some time. But I am very curious. It's a 3-year deal, which is a little shorter than you would typically sign, which means he's probably only aiming to be there 3 years. He's not going to coach until his 80s. So who are going to be the coordinators? And who's going to be quarterback? Because if it's Russell Wilson, I don't think I'll be watching a snap next year. So that's going to be the question all offseason. Who's going to be quarterback? Who's going to be quarterback? And if I know the Raiders, like I know the Raiders, it's going to be Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins. It's going to be a bridge quarterback. And which means they'll miss out next year in the draft. And they'll miss out. So it's frustrating in that sense. But Pete was kind of my choice from the beginning. Ben Johnson was a little bit of a mystery. What's telling to me is that, like, it seems like they missed on everybody.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't anybody's first choice. Even the coordinator from the Bucks who just went to the Jags last minute and was like, I'm out of here. But that is the situation you're in when you're the team that doesn't have a quarterback, when you're the team in the toughest division, and you're the team who has had the most overturn. Like, yeah, all those jobs look way more enticing. Their Bears job looks way more enticing. The Jags job looks way more enticing. Like, you know, the only one that looks a little worse is that one out there in Dallas because you don't know what you're walking into over there. So, shout out to Deion. I hope he gets that job because let them go be a circus on their own. But that's the most disheartening part as a Raiders fan. It's like, oh, clearly we were last in the race. Like, we were, you know, we were behind the Jets. And the Jets are a mess there. Yeah. So ridiculous. I like Pete, and I'm excited for it.
Somebody pointed out, I didn't realize this till I saw it. We do get Pete versus Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. One of the great rivalries in recent football
two
memory.
Old men going to be hitting each other with canes out there at the 50-yard line.
Man. What's your deal?
They're going to race each other out there so you can get there first.
Hey, what's your deal? Huh? that's what Jim always, huh?
Dudes,
hey, man, y'all got a real beef with that schedule loss last night, by the way.
Oh, like, yeah, that's tough.
Don't send us
man.
Into the mountain back-to-back less than 24 hours, and we got to play tough. The MVP. I think he's the MVP, too. I'm just saying.
I mean, them numbers last night were stupid. 35, 22, and 17.
When you hit a full-court shot on us, you got it, buddy. You got it. Whatever you got, whatever you want, you got it. Like, come on, man.
That's
time the stat line's ever been put up in history. Well, if Wilt's the only one who's done it, then you're the only one who's done it now. Like, we'll
right. Yeah, that was a tough one for the Kings last night, man. But now, that, like you said, they out there in the Big Apple. They got out of Denver quick. They didn't even sleep. They said, no, we're going to fly tonight. Got there in the morning.
Look, you get a week in New York. Look, the Suns were here for two extra days. So they played Cleveland MLK Day. They were here by the evening. So you don't waste them New York trips. You don't waste them Miami trips. And you don't waste them LA trips. You do not. So, yeah, you take advantage.
King's out there on Broadway for the next couple of days.
King's watching the Lion King.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what they're doing.
Watching cats.
The way they were last night, they probably in the ice tub somewhere.
Yeah, for real.
They're probably in the plunge, man, in the cryotherapy room or something. Or the way Eddie looks, they might just be standing outside trying to do cold therapy.
Hey, man, New York starts late out here, man. They don't got to move around until about 1, 2 o'clock. They'll be fine.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's my kind of city right there.
Okay.
All right, man. Yeah.
All right.
I love it.
We appreciate you, Eddie. We're following everything because I guess now we got a vested interest in this Jimmy Butler deal.
This thing
not they holding up for the Kings, man. Dang.
Hey, man, talk to your people, man, and tell them, hey, in Sacramento, they need you to get this done, man. Like, stop playing around.
Look, I've been trying, man. I've been pushing the line, but shout out to my man's made the All-Star game, though. 15 is a big number for making the All-Star game, so that's an exciting one.
Deserved, too. Well-deserved.
Yeah, no surprises last night for you, right?
Nah, I seen some complaints about LaMelo and other guys. And what's the guy's name on Yahoo? Dan Devine. He was like, LeBron and Kevin shouldn't even make it, period. Not start, not reserve. I'm like, all right,
man.
All right, bro.
Come on now.
But Norm Powell's out.
Did he just
Norm
start
Powell.
Watching
Come
NBA?
On,
yeah. Well, okay, on, Norm Powell's having a fine season. Norm Powell doesn't need to be an all-star, especially over DeMontis Sabonis. Right. Like, what are we doing? I think
DeMontis is getting in.
You think so?
It's looking dicey right now.
Man, I hope you're right.
I hope you are too, but it's looking
dicey.
With
the way the starters broke, you got to get, like, I just looking at the list a second ago, but Wemby obviously will get in there. I think
AD going to get in.
They're going to put Sengun over him, man. I'm telling you, they're going to put Sengun over him.
I think Alfie will get in. I think one of the Rockets will for sure get in there. They're two up. I don't want Jaren Jackson to make it. Like, let me get my little bit of hate before we cut off. He's been in the All-Star game before, and he has wasted every second he's been out there. I'm trying to have fun. It's bad enough these dudes are shooting 40 half-court shots. Put some boys in there that's going to run up and down the court, dunk, be a little into it, you know what I mean? Keep that young fella in his jump shot. He, like, acknowledge him in another way. Just not, he don't need to be in the game. It's fine.
That just got
I heard
me hyped
what
John
Moran said, but Ja, you go play, Ja, please.
That just got me hyped to see LaMelo. I think LaMelo's going to put on a show.
I love LaMelo, man. Like, that's a beef I'll hold near and dear until we're done with it. But I love him. I love what he represents for the kids and all that stuff. And look, that's what the All-Star game is about. You're supposed to have somebody out there like him who's going to – he might throw a 360 between the leg off the backboard pass to somebody. Like, you know what he's going to come up with out there. But that's the point. And this game been boring for a few years.
Wemby did that to himself just yesterday in Paris.
When LaMelo did that, he threw a pass off the backboard against the Suns, and Kevin was like, he was cussing at him.
See, LaMelo is exactly what the All-Star game needs. The problem is,
but
that's not what the regular season needs.
But
and that's why they can't win.
But LaMelo didn't make it. He's not starting. I'm sure he'll make the reserves because he got so many votes. Like you got to put him in there. Yeah.
He was like number two in player vote for the Cards.
He was seven in media. Eight.
Oh yeah, they do not.
I was gonna yell at that. I said, I don't think the media needs to be a part of that.
There it is.
It's for the fans, man.
There it is. There it is right there. All these little self-righteous dudes who there it is right there. Eddie, we appreciate you, brother, man. Thank you as always.
See y'all next week,
man.
Yes, sir. That's my man, Eddie Gonzalez, NBA insider. Eddie Gonzalez. We'll come back with our insider, James Hamm. We'll see. I don't know. Get ready for the 401 news break. Tune into KSFM.
We're going to talk about it on the 420 hit of the day.
Interrupt Flashback Friday to bring you the Sacramento Kings trade. James Hamm, top of the hour, D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.